You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, June the 7th, and you know it is really June in Memphis when it's 93 degrees outside. You just sweat going to the mailbox. It's humid. It's sticky. And the only place where it's more uncomfortable than outside is going to be in this radio studio tonight if you are a liberal or the enemy of the American Republic in any way, shape, or form. We're going to battle in the culture war tonight. We've got four related stories this first hour. They're all a little bit different in terms of subject matter, but all a little bit the same. And you'll see how they all tie together. And then the last story of this hour, I think, will put forth a potential solution to these problems that we face. But nevertheless, again, everybody, welcome to the show tonight. I think we're going to have a great show for you this evening, as I guess they all are. And we welcome those tuning in on the local flagship here in Memphis, Tennessee, to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio. Site of the Liberty News Radio Network. Now, the first story I've got here is perhaps the most absurd of this opening trio. All of them are really distasteful, but this one just goes to show that the moral rot, the cancer that is political correctness, has truly reached a terminal stage. How much more progress can we possibly stand? Another question to be asked. The mayor of Houston, who is a lesbian, has forced all to open their restrooms to men. Basically, unisex restrooms in essence, but they passed the language is you can go into whatever restroom you feel most closely relates to your gender orientation, not necessarily what you have biologically speaking or in terms of anatomy, but what you feel like. And that's what restroom you go into. Here's the scoop out of Houston, which you will get this not typically in the South, but in a place like Houston, where you have so much multiculturalism, I guess you could say, this stands to reason. Houston's bathrooms, showers, and dressing facilities will now be open to all, regardless of gender identity, gender expression, or other predilection of gender behavior. By an 11-6 vote of the Houston City Council, Mayor Anise Parker achieved this as the crowning jewel of her tenure as mayor. Mayor Parker, Houston's first openly homosexual mayor, and I refuse to use the word gay when referring to these people because they're not happy. Yeah, that's what the word means. So, you know, we're not going to continue to allow our words to be redefined to suit cultural Marxism, but she said it's the crowning jewel of her tenure. Now, that's a sorry tenure, to be sure, if the greatest thing in her mind that she's done is opening restrooms to any and all, regardless of where you should be going. She said passing this ordinance was the most important thing she'd done in office, the most personally meaningful thing I will ever do as mayor, she said. Houston Council Member at Large, Position 3, Michael Kabosh, took exception to this. He told KPRC-TV in Houston, it's going to criminalize people that have been found in violation of the ordinance, and the fine could be between $500 to $5,000. So with that, that is the opening salvo in tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. I'll turn it over to Keith. I don't know what sense you can make of it, my friend, but I'll sure give you an opportunity.
Well, again, I'm speechless. This is, you know, could anyone have imagined in the 1950s that we would end up at this place? That so-called liberalism and progressivism would lead to a world of unisex bathrooms. Common sense is taking a permanent vacation, apparently, under political correctness. I don't know what you can say about this except that, liberalism is a runaway train. We say on this show that liberalism is a modern face of evil. If this doesn't prove that to you, then nothing will.
one of our readers on the blog apparently had some inside information on this, and the way he read the official ordinance was that you at least have to look like the gender that you identify as, meaning you can certainly be a man and go to a woman's restroom, but you have to look like a woman or dress like a woman, I guess. But who's to say? I mean, once you start crossing these lines, you know, where does enforcement really come in? And if somebody goes in that just looks as manly as anyone and says he feels like he's a woman, you know, how can you deny him his civil right to pretend to be a woman and go in there and see other women using the restroom, which is, you know, I guess what the purpose of this is, Keith? I mean, hell, who knows? Because it's also sick and absurd and preposterous that it would be impossible to, it's really impossible to have an intelligent dialogue about this, because it's something so nonsensical that only American elected officials or judges could come up with.
Well, who wants to be the test case that's going to go up and prevent anyone from going into any restroom that they care to get into? The fact that something like this gets passed. Opposed to this. Official review. This is the way that the left has assured the success of their agenda. This is how the 3% governs in defiance of the will of the 97%, Jay.
Well, so this is the latest volley that has been hurled our way in a culture war that we don't lose in terms of the hearts and minds and souls of decent Americans, as I have said many, many times on this show, and I think it is certainly something that can be proven. And our next story will play into my reasoning on that. Most Americans obviously don't go along with this kind of foolishness. Yeah, good word, Keith. That's exactly what it is. With this foolishness. But the people have no power. The people who vote, the people who work to make this country go, the people who aren't professional malcontents, you know, what are they going to do? You know, they're not the ones that are getting elected. They're not the ones that are being put up and put forth to run for office. It's usually a sociopath. And certainly they're not reclining in the seats of any judgeship. So it doesn't matter if 80%, 90%, or even 100% of the people oppose this ordinance. And I can guarantee you, you can take a poll in the city of Houston, even though it is a little more, dare I say, diverse than most southern cities, and it would, you know, the citizens there would be overwhelmingly opposed to this. But again, Keith, it doesn't matter, because the power in this country doesn't reside in the people. It's in runaway judges and rogue elected officials like this.
Well, diversity really has nothing to do with it, because I guarantee you most black people and most Hispanic people would be inalterably opposed to this type of law. What it is that liberalism uses all groups like this to try to take down the old order. That's their modus operandi. That has been their modus operandi since the invention of cultural Marxism, primarily in the 1930s. That's when the term racist was invented, used for the first time by a Marxist as an example of how to of a tool to take down the old order. We'll have more on this and other topics of interest after these words from our sponsor.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the political cesspool. James Edwards here with Keith Alexander, and we're talking about the culture war, talking about the manifestation of government-forced unisex restrooms in the city of Houston. That's a city ordinance there that has been passed. The crowning jewel in the cap of the lesbian mayor there. Well, she'll be happy with this latest complete violation of constitutional law. And Wisconsin is where this story stems. Federal judge strikes down Wisconsin's quote-unquote gay marriage ban. And you see this now with increasing regularity. I think in the last 2 months, Keith, there must have been a half dozen states that have done this. It started slow, and the snowball effect is beginning to pick up momentum. But in Wisconsin, it's the same old story. Federal judges usurping powers from the state legislatures. This comes from the AP wire in Madison, Wisconsin. Same-sex couples began getting married in Wisconsin on Friday, shortly after a federal judge struck down the state's gay marriage ban. And despite confusion over the effect of the ruling, clerks in Madison and Milwaukee began issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples shortly after 5 p.m. on Friday, a little over an hour after the judge released her ruling. Judges were on hand at both courthouses to perform ceremonies for the happy couples. And to this, I would just say, and our guest last week wrote it himself on his website, I mean, what's the point in ever even bothering to go vote anymore? That there's no power in the ballot. If our rulers in the regime dislike a law, they will just impose their will by executive fiat, such as we've seen in the cap and trade or the DREAM Act. Or failing that, a federal judge will simply overturn the will of the voters. And if that fails, politicians like Rand Paul, for instance, will be auctioned off to the highest billing oligarch, like Sheldon Adelson, the big Republican fat cat. So, you know, what recourse do, Keith, voters have in Obama's America? And you can answer that while tying in your thoughts perhaps on the latest manifestation of a federal judge circumventing the will of the people in Wisconsin, overturning a constitutional ban implemented by the voters.
Well, this is a template that is tried and true in the playbook of the left that originated in its not original manifestation, but in its modern manifestation in the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education decision. People wonder why we make such a big deal about that. Well, we make a big deal about it because it is where the power of judicial review gained traction and gained acceptance. And basically what it did, it turned the sovereign power of the federal government. First of all, the federal government had superiority over every other branch of government, local government, state government. It is not limited at all, as the Constitution says, to certain enumerated areas. It governs every aspect of your life, including where you go to the bathroom now, as we saw in the last story in the last segment. And furthermore, what they do, this is the way that the 3% rules over the 97%. And basically, people have become totally demoralized by this. This is why people succumb to political correctness, because they now have this sickening feeling in the inevitability of liberal leftist change in America. So consequently, they don't stand up. I remember when I was a kid, there were all of these impeach Earl Warren bumper stickers. People were so outraged at the usurpation of sovereign power by the Supreme Court. And there's nothing in the text of the U.S. Constitution that says that the Supreme Court has the final say on what is constitutional and what is not. But nonetheless, they've seized it, and the other branches of the federal government and state and local government have bowed down to worship at this golden calf. And as a result, they are a juggernaut. They cannot be stopped as long as they control the Supreme Court. In fact, I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said in Federalist Paper number 78 that the Supreme Court, or that the federal judiciary, was the weakest and least dangerous branch of the federal government. It wasn't, not Thomas Jefferson, excuse me, Alexander Hamilton was the author of Federalist 78. He's the one who said that. But you see, in today's America, basically following a thread that began in the Brown decision, it is now, the federal judiciary is now the strongest and most dangerous branch of the federal government. In fact, we've had presidential elections in which it seems like the primary purpose is to determine who gets to choose the next Supreme Court justice, because the Supreme Court is where all the sovereign power ultimately resides. And when that's the case, you need to understand that this is an unelected branch of government. You have Supreme Court justices, federal judges at all levels, picked by the president with the advice and consent of the United States Senate. The Senate doesn't get to vote up or down. They can't block the nomination. So consequently, you have a president who can appoint these judges. And then the judges basically trump the legislative branch and the executive branch of the government. They get to call all the shots by saying that the Constitution forbids any infringement on, for example, gay marriage, which is what's happening in Wisconsin. Can any sane person read the text of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and say that somewhere hidden away in there is a ban on infringing against gay marriage? Could anyone have even imagined that gay marriage would have been an issue when the 14th Amendment was passed back right after the Civil War? It's all totally absurd, but we're allowing ourselves to be ruled by absurd notions like this, James.
Conservatives will continue to lose each and every battle in the culture war, as we have done consistently for over 50 years now, because, you know, 60 years, right, since 19, I forget what year it is, yeah, since the early 50s, because we are inhibited by a sense of fair play. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I mean, that's noble. But when you go into a battle with one hand tied behind your back, you want to play by the rules, and you're going up against the criminally corrupt people in positions of power in our judiciary and in our government who, like somebody going into a cafeteria or to a buffet, they're going to pick and choose which laws they want to enforce based upon whether or not it's politically correct. And the laws that they don't like that perhaps would put a muzzle on some of their initiatives, they will just completely disregard. A constitutional ban, hey, that's nothing. They'll rule them unconstitutional, right? And they can do that with the stroke of a pen because the judge certainly knows more than all of the people in that state, or so they think. And unfortunately, there is still enough complacency within our people that we just take it. Hey, whatever, you know, because I'm going to have a beer on Sunday and there's going to be a football game on Sunday. And as long as you don't take that from me, then as long as you, you know, let me eke out a living and, you know, the IRS can take half of it. But if you just let me keep 50% of what I earn and that, you know, I'll be OK. I won't, you know, I'll grouse over that beer I'm having while I'm watching my team, but I'm really not going to do anything. And Keith, honestly, though, what can they do? What can decent law-abiding people do that don't have power? What can the populace do?
Well, they can do what Americans did up until 1954. Basically, the President of the United States and the legislature could say, I too have taken an oath to enforce the Constitution of the United States, and I see nothing in this law that violates the 14th Amendment, for example, in this latest Wisconsin decision. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors, ladies and gentlemen.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are, as we said at the beginning of the hour, we are talking about topics that are all related to the abomination that is homosexuality. And let's just call it what it is. Obviously, we don't hate anyone on this program. We can have disagreements with people. It's nothing about hate, but it's just illegitimate in terms of marriage. It's a mental illness. As I say so often when talking about this subject, it was rightly identified as a mental illness by the American Psychiatric Association up until the 1970s. And it still is, of course, but just no longer an officially listed one because political correctness took care of that. But it is an abomination. It's a sin. It's the new normal now. It's the new morality. And that perfectly plays into what my next story has to read. And by the way, Keith, I was just reflecting upon that story we covered last segment about the judge in Wisconsin being the latest of which to strike down a state's lawfully enacted referendum, a constitutional ban on this scourge. You know, the judiciary, and I'll let you make a quick comment in response to this, and then we'll get to the next story. The judiciary, I don't know how much it has changed, but the power that it has been allowed to take for itself has certainly changed a lot since Andrew Jackson's most famous quote, a quote that I associate immediately when thinking of Andrew Jackson. You can probably guess the one I'm referring to, and if you would recite it in your response, that would be great because it's a classic.
It was one of the early attempts by the U.S. Supreme Court to exercise a power of judicial review, saying that they were the last word on what was constitutional and what was not. Specifically, John Marshall in the Supreme Court of the day ruled that the Indian Removal Act that sent the Cherokee Nation to Oklahoma was unconstitutional. And what was the response of the executive branch to this? Andrew Jackson, President of the United States, said, "Mr. Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it." Now, do you think that the governor of Wisconsin will say, whoever this justice was that ruled on the constitutionality of the ban on homosexual marriage in the Wisconsin Constitution, that whoever this judge is has made a decision, now let him or her enforce it? Don't hold your breath. Unfortunately, we don't have politicians of the same metal that used to reside in America and basically gave America its distinctive character as the land of the free and home of the brave, James.
And Keith, it's certainly a case of the elephant being afraid of the mouse. The governor of these respective states, the legislature, the county sheriffs, they all have more power than any judge, but yet they take this judge's fantastic whimsy and just act as though it was God's holy writ. I mean, they'll say, "Well, the judge said it. Who am I? I'm only the governor. I'm only, the state senate or the state house of representatives. What power do we have? This one judge, this judicial activist, he said or she said that it's law. What power do we have?" I mean, truly the elephant being afraid of the mouse, and that's not even getting down to the common people, which we were talking about last segment. Obviously the people, the voters have no power, but apparently neither does the people that they vote into power. And I'm not talking about the judges.
Well, it's like I said, all of the early presidents that were confronted with an attempted usurpation of power by a Supreme Court, Thomas Jefferson in Marbury versus Madison, Andrew Jackson in the Indian Removal case, Abraham Lincoln in State X Rel Milligan, all basically ignored the Supreme Court. That was the U.S. Supreme Court. Of course, governors could ignore their state Supreme Courts and say, just like Pat Buchanan suggested, they say that they too have taken an oath to enforce the Constitution of their various states or of the United States Constitution if it is a federal law. And they can say that their review reveals to them that there's nothing unconstitutional about, for example, the constitutional ban on homosexual marriage that was passed into law not by the legislature, but directly by the people of Wisconsin in a referendum. You know, that's the most direct and, as far as I'm concerned, the most powerful legislative enactment that you can have. It's a constitutional amendment that has to be by a supermajority of the people in a state as liberal as Wisconsin decided that they should have a constitutional ban on homosexual marriage. And of course, that's like a Kleenex. You know, that's a mere piece of paper. It's to be tossed out the window by one judge. It could be a federal judge like the homosexual judge Vaughn Walker, who ruled that the California initiative referendum banning gay marriage was unconstitutional. Now, you've had it even in places like Arkansas, and the people meekly submit to this usurpation of power. It's incredible. Our forefathers would be shaking their head and wondering what has happened, why all of our politicians are now invertebrates and don't have the spine to stand up to this type of tyranny.
And it's certainly not to say that a lot of our politicians aren't criminally corrupt or sociopathic or both. I mean, there are some good ones, but, well, on the state level, I don't know of any in Congress or the Senate. I mean, maybe a handful, and that's being generous. Walter Jones might be one that would come to mind. But anyway, so, yeah, this is what we've got. So, yeah, the judges have all the power. That's where the power lies in the American political apparatus. Governors are just all figureheads if it comes to a case where they would butt heads with a judge who's not interpreting the law, but writing it themselves. Well, this is the new morality, folks. You can't be a Christian. Christianity equals hate, equals racism, homophobia, bigotry, whatever. If you believe, well, you know, God's a bigot then by that standard, because I'd take my guidance on this issue from his holy word. And so from the Bible. Jesus Christ, obviously a bigot, so I guess we're in good company as far as that goes. But it is the new morality as far as corporate America is concerned, and certainly our entertainment and government, news media. Homosexual love travels in the name of consumerism is a article that comes from what's going on with the Marriott International Hotel chain. They're going all out for their new LGBT marketing campaign. It's called Love Travels, to show that even Marriott, even international hotel chains care about promoting, well, the new morality. I'm just going to read the article and let it speak for itself. Here it is. The social print, out-of-home, and digital effort-themed Love Travels focuses on self-identity, travel, sense of home and comfort, sense of home and comfort, experience this, and I'm going to get this short figured out here, folks, so bear with me. You know, if I was an internet, I was talking to you about this, I think, earlier today, or making the comment to someone. If I was an international hotel chain, I would certainly gear my biggest advertisement push of the year to what, 3% of the population, whatever homosexuals make up. But this effort involves a partnership with homosexual photographer, and they're going to be creating portraits for this campaign of both well-known homosexual and transgendered Americans. I love that. And regular real-life couples. Well, of course, if they're homosexual, that is. They wanted to make a bold statement, says Christine Friend, Senior Director, Segment Marketing Manager at Marriott International. We are tripling the investment for what they would normally spend in an ad campaign, Keith. In the past, for example, we hadn't done any mobile or tablet advertising. We also hadn't had this degree of print or display advertising. And we're doing a ton of out-of-home work. She tells Marketing Daily that the program running through November 30th with digital running through the year's end, reflects what's happening demographically and socially. You know that that's absolutely a lie. I mean, homosexuals are still very low single digits percentage of the population. But Marriott is increasing their commitment to reflect what America looks like. We wanted to do something that would make a strong statement. And we don't have it yet up on our website, folks, but it will be in a couple of days. One of the pictures associated with this campaign, and it says, at home with Scott, Chad, Olivia, and Jack. And Scott and Chad are the two sodomites, and they're sitting on a couch, presumably in a Marriott hotel room, and they're kind of asleep, cuddled up to each other, and their children, a young girl and a young boy, are in their laps, and with the hashtag love travel. So we're going to a break, and we're going to give it to Keith, and he's going to sink his teeth into this for as long as he wants right after this. So that's what's going on with Marriott. That's their ad campaign for the summer, coming soon to a city near you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you on the Political Cesspool with Keith Alexander. We were talking about the Marriott's latest national advertising blitz. And as you heard them say for yourself in that story that I read, they're going all in, spending more money on this than any campaign that they've done before to specifically target a small fraction almost a statistical anomaly of the population, saying that is in their minds what they say is it represents what America looks like now. So the majority of consumers are now homosexual. Well, according to Marriott, this is what's going on, Keith, and you can see this picture for yourself that I was describing before the break with these two men with two young innocent children in their laps, and that's supposed to represent the modern family on the Marriott's website. It'll be on our website this week, folks, so check it out.
Well, James, it's not that they think that there's a majority of people in the United States who are homosexual. It's that they think a majority of the people of the United States have now had their outlook transformed by the relentless psychological conditioning caused by the left through the news media, through the entertainment industry, through just about every institution in the United States of America and in Western Europe. This is, you know, this is the secret ingredient in cultural Marxism. It's a blending of Freud and Marx, and the Freudian aspects cannot be overlooked. They are the key to the success of cultural Marxism. There are basically two forms of applied Marxism: communism and cultural Marxism. Communism has gone the way of the dodo bird. It exists in a few far-flung outposts like North Korea and Cuba to the present day, but it is not advancing. It is not conquering new ground. It's in retreat, just like in the old Soviet Union. On the other hand, cultural Marxism is alive and well, thriving, metastasizing, growing more and more influential with every passing day. Just to get an idea of how far we've traveled down this road, how things have changed over the past 60 years, consider, if you will, this Marriott advertising campaign directed at mainstreaming or normalizing homosexual couples with children and telling the world that they are welcome in their motels and hotels and furthermore will be especially accommodated, with the founding principles of the Holiday Inn motel chain, which of course began right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kemmons Wilson, the founder, took his large family on a transcontinental automobile vacation. And during that vacation, he was appalled at the quality of, one, the accommodations that were available to families. They would stop at what looked like a nice new motel and find out after they had checked in and paid their money that it was part of the hot sheets trade. Secondly, they had no idea about the part of town they were in. There was no restaurant on site, so they would have to go ranging around in a strange town trying to find a place to eat. Thirdly, they found that there were no discounts for large families. Children paid the same rate as adults. So if you had seven children, that would be husband and wife, there would be nine full-price dinners. There would be nine, they'd be charged for nine adults staying at the hotel. And they had no accommodations or playgrounds and whatnot for the children. There was no swimming pool, there was no playground, no ice machines, things like this. Air conditioning, it was hit or miss. Telephones in the room, maybe, maybe not. He standardized all this so that he would create a family-friendly motel chain with an outlet basically at every cloverleaf on the American expressway system to facilitate family vacations in the summer. Remember the old ad, enjoy your vacation anywhere in the nation at a Holiday Inn. You're assured of the best when you stop to rest at a Holiday Inn. Well, now this family-friendly, heterosexual family-friendly approach has been turned on its head. Apparently they're doing nothing to make heterosexual families feel welcome and everything to make homosexual families feel welcome. Talk about the tail wagging the dog, but this is the new improved America that we're all supposed to, endorse and, say to ourselves, glory, hallelujah. Change has come. Free at last.
Well, Keith, you triggered something in my mind going back to a discussion that we had perhaps 2 weeks ago when we were talking about some of the success that right-of-center parties have experienced recently in Europe, where it is a little bit more totalitarian in terms of you can be jailed for thinking thoughts that the regime doesn't want you to think, but yet still in those places, parties that are certainly paleoconservative, to use the word we like to be described as, I think it's an accurate description, are seeing all sorts of gains. And so that begs the question, when we're seeing things like this, what is a more effective way for our enemies to force their will upon us? Is it through totalitarianism and communism, or is it through cultural Marxism and political correctness? There really are certainly a lot of overlaps in those two examples. I guess the difference is in implementation. But apparently, when you look at the regression that America is having, it's not progress, folks. What we are seeing happen here on all of these fronts in the culture war is not progress by any term of the definition. It is regression. And so we are regressing here in America, where we supposedly have more freedoms, and yet over in Europe, they are progressing back to a healthy sense of identity and political expression.
It gets back to my earlier observation that the two forms of applied Marxism, communism and cultural Marxism, their histories in the last 20, 30 years shows that communism, with its hard totalitarian tactics of somebody knocking on your door at midnight, dragging you down to the basement of the Lubyanka and putting a bullet in the basement of your, in the base of your brain, doesn't work nearly as well as the soft tyranny engendered by cultural Marxism of political correctness. You're considered not to be a candidate for public office if you are not politically correct. You are considered to be beyond the pale. You're not supposed to have a prosperous economic career. They use these soft tyrannical tactics, and they're more effective than the hard totalitarian tactics of communism. It's incredible, and the reason is that people tolerate political correctness, but they found the tyranny of the Lubyanka to be intolerable. We've got to understand that these are just two different techniques of achieving the same goal, which is tyrannical totalitarianism. The people that would enforce political correctness on the American people are totalitarians. They're not people of goodwill, they're people of malevolence. And the sooner we recognize that, the better off we're going to be. Maybe we can turn this thing around. We've got to basically tell the people that try to enforce political correctness that, like they said in Vietnam, hell no, we won't go. We're not going to be cowed by political correctness. We're going to tell the truth, and as the Bible says, the truth will set you free.
Well, Keith, I'll be talking a little later on in the show tonight about life and family and the things that we, you know, it's certainly important to focus on all of these issues that are so critical to our existence and our future, and you certainly should be politically active. But I'll also be talking later in the program tonight about life and family and the things that you can control. You know, we can't control everything. I mean, not as individuals. We can certainly work with other people who are making a difference and support those people and those organizations. And there are a few good ones. It's not to say that we have a lot of power. You know, I think this show certainly wields, relatively speaking, more influence in the media than any other voice paleoconservatives have on the mainstream airwaves. But, yeah, so you support the people who are doing what they can with what they've got. I certainly wish, you know, we had clear channel, you know, type of millions in name recognition. But we're getting there, and Liberty News Radio is right there to help us. And so we're grateful for all of that, and certainly for the support we've received. But, no, I'm going to be talking, and I go back to this from time to time, and I'm going to really take my time in laying out this case in the third hour. But so we'll focus on things that everyone can do that will make a real difference. But in the meantime, you have to draw hope. And our guest a little later on in the program tonight will be talking again. He will be offering a second look at what happened in Europe last week in those elections for the European Union seats. And so we're going to have another comprehensive analysis on that. But I think, you know, you certainly would be foolish not to draw hope from what we have seen our brothers and sisters and cousins in Europe accomplish here. It certainly proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that despite this 24/7 brainwashing and mind manipulation that we have being pumped in from so many television outlets and movies and music, newspapers certainly, that people aren't really digesting that to the extent that Marriott hotels think they are, that this is the new America, the new morality, this is reflects what America has become. No, not at all. So we'll take hope from what happened in Europe and hope that a similar reaction will take place one day here in America. And until it does, we're going to continue to stoke the embers and do our work day in, day out here on the political cesspool. We'll be doing it for two more hours tonight, so stick with us, will you? We'll be back right after this.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.